Chapter 20. Springer. Thompson was in process, as Florian called it, when the doctor burst in. In process was something they'd had dummy runs at before, to provide data for the Braintree brains to chew over. But this was the real thing, the final live upload, not to be interrupted. Carol and Boyo were in a waiting room off processing, waiting for their master's return, when the chief scientist hurtled in through the door hard enough that she thought he'd been pushed. His immaculate facade was ruffled, and his eyes kept darting to the door through to processing, where Thompson lay hooked up to the machines. Springer shrank from him when he turned that anemic gaze on her. His hair was out of place. Literally, the whole body of it shifted to one side, peeling up at a corner. "What's going on?" And she shifted closer to Boyo, in case the man was just deranged now, his all-too-thin veneer of respectability worn through entirely.
"There's,"
Florian said, as though it was a sentence. He was unsteady on his feet. She wondered if he'd been poisoned, had a stroke, come down with some brain fever as karmic retribution for all the other brains he'd trashed. "Dr. Florian?" In contrast, she was still 100% polished professional, for all she was standing right in Boyo's shadow.
"A breach,"
Florian croaked, eyes sliding away to where Thompson had gone.
"There's a breach. Data. We've been hacked. We've been hacked. I need, when he comes out, need you to handle him. You have to handle him. You're the only one who, we're trying to stop it, but it keeps circumventing everything we do."
As though the man was a pane of glass cracked through, and no two shards of him quite meeting edge to edge. "Dr. Florian, please calm down," she said. "What sort of breach are we talking about? Personal data? Commercially sensitive material? How does it touch on my employer?" Because it wasn't just inmate records or the loss of a patent from the way it had impacted on him.
"The recordings,"
Florian moaned. "What did you record? You mean with the inmates? After processing?" That would be problematic, potentially incriminating. But Carol was already running through possible ways to beat it if it went public. Ways that would dump Florian right in it, but preserve her employer, because she had her priorities. And who would believe Florian over Thompson? Nobody believed anyone over Thompson. Not in the end. Not even when they knew he was lying. Not even when the lies were tissue thin. That was his genius. But Florian was saying something, looking as dismayed as a man handed his own warrant of execution. He was saying,
"Everything."
Too many questions, and she obviously had a rare window of honesty with the man. But he'd pull himself together in a moment and start hiding things. So she just said, "Show me. Show me what they have, whoever they are. No, wait. Are you tracing them?"
"Yes, trying to, yes, but..."
She called the campaign team, linked to their electronic operations, the dirty tricks boys who screwed with anyone who was getting in the way. Their usual job was to dig up something they could use to get people to shut up and go away. But poachers made the best gamekeepers. In minutes, she had them working with Florian's inadequate people, tracing just where this flood of ruptured data was going to. She had them work on stemming the tide, too, but like Florian said, it wasn't that easy. They stuck a thumb in, and a fresh torrent sprang up, like the whole Braintree system had become a sieve. And by then, she knew what everything meant. It meant everything. It meant that Florian had been recording not just his own experiments, not unreasonable for a man whose job it was to learn from his many mistakes until he got it right. But every conversation he had with every client, every meeting, every deal, every incriminating instruction, every time he and Thompson had got together to advance the grand plan that had come to dominate Braintree's research, the plan that was the outward manifestation of Thompson's own deepest desire, the machinery of money and minds that Carroll had helped him build around himself so he could realize his dreams. All of it, on record. And the implication was clear. Florian hadn't trusted Thompson not to sell him down the river in the end, walk away and let the boffin take the blame. As he might well have done, because Thompson wasn't about being loyal to underlings. He was about taking their loyalty and wringing every last drop of use from it before discarding them. And so Florian, no fool he, had recorded a very complete train of instructions, ensuring that he could show how Thompson had told him to do everything, that he had only been obeying orders. And now, it was all crawling out of the holes in the sieve and wriggling off into the ether. No, not into the ether, not distributed across the globe. It was going to one place. A single pinpoint in the great constellation of human virtual activity. And she knew it before the team came back with their confirmation. She didn't know how the man had done it, but it made sense. And this wasn't the worst result in the world, because at least it meant they had someone they could confront, bully, bribe. They could stem the tide with applications of threats and money, just like before, just like always. Scout was still in the area, awaiting instructions. She sent word to the trigger dogs. Move in. Then it was time for Thompson to come out of processing. And like Florian said, who else could break the news to him save her? Even as he shouldered into the room, she was trying to condense what had happened in her head. A summary. And then a summary of a summary. Until the pieces were small enough for Thompson to digest without becoming impatient, without becoming angry. And she didn't want him angry. But at the same time, there was no way he wasn't going to be angry. And so she stuttered a little and fought over the words, and he was instantly keyed up, clever in his own way, enough to see things had gone wrong. And she got it out, rattled through it like a machine. The breach, the videos, the lawyer. Short sentences to the point. An admirable communicator with skills honed for an audience of one. He stared. His face went flat, sagging but purpled as the blood flushed to it. He stared past it at her, out of that place he lived in, behind his eyes.
Shit,
he said, and... Nonsense syllables, spittle dashing across her face as he stood quite still and expressionless. Not restraint, but momentary rage overload at the enormity of what had gone on. And then he hit her, bony fist deflecting awkwardly from her cheekbone, and she reeled back. No art to the blow, but the meaty weight of his arm behind it. He slapped her across the side of her head, rammed the lever of his knee into her stomach, punched at her back, blazing flowers of pain down her ribs. Then he was hauling her upright, and his face was on fire with blank fury.
No, 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 no,
was coming from his throat, barely seeming to interact with tongue and lips. Not even loud, not even angry sounding, just an idiot monologue that was right out of the id that made up most of Warner S. Thompson. He gripped her by the throat and shook her. And she thought that would be it. That he'd clench those fingers hard enough that it would at least be over. And she was trying to fight. She was trying to fight, but she couldn't, because in her head was the knowledge, he wants this. And she did what he wanted. She was a good, obedient employee. If he wanted to beat her, then she was there to be beaten. She could hear Boyo whining, sense him twitching, wanting to move, perhaps even to intervene. No more able to than she was to hold her hands up to ward him off. Thompson landed one more blow on her, knuckles straight into her face, so that she was on the floor a moment after without memory of the transition, the room swimming, nausea marching up her throat. His expensive shoes swam in her vision, and she waited for their impact, trying to shield her face or her stomach, but her hands betraying her, leaving him all the targets she possessed because he wanted it. Because she was just the girl who couldn't ever say no. The caller in her mind. Call it what it was now. No more, no less than the thing that kept Boyo and Scout in line. A tight band of pain behind her eyes. Throbbing and pulsing in time with her bloodied face. Her rebelling stomach. But those shoes didn't move. And when the vomit came, she jackknifed away so that it went somewhere away from him. She mustn't soil that Italian leather. That would make her a bad employee.
Stand up,
Thompson grunted. And a kind of whole-body twitch went through her as she tried to obey, even as she kept on retching. Wiping at her mouth, she tried to haul herself to her feet. But the room swooped vertiginously around her, and she fell back down. He shouted at her again, and she felt a fresh wave of violence cresting in him. Whimpering, desperately, she pulled herself upright and sagged against the wall, trying not to cry, because he hated women crying.
Get me fellatio,
he snarled, and she automatically opened a channel to the doctor whom she knew had heard, whom she knew had watched, through the cameras, through the mirror that was a window. Dr. Florian, will you come in here, please? She said. And in her rattled mind, she was booking the appointment. See Florian. Braintree. Now. But Florian didn't come in. Didn't respond. And she tried to brace herself when she told Thompson, but couldn't even do that. Except he had spent his surge of rage on her now, in the same way that he spent other emotions on her when they'd built up and he needed to purge himself of them. Now, he was purposeful.
Boyo,
he said,
get fellatio. Go fetch.
And Boyo was loping away, every lean movement of his body speaking relief that he was being allowed to act, that he wouldn't be made mute witness to any more of that. They'd locked the antechamber door, it turned out, but Boyo didn't allow it to be more than 3 seconds impediment.
Get me Scout,
Thompson said.
I want to talk to Scout.
Sir, it'll be fine. She was trying to speak very clearly past the places her lips had been bloodied against her teeth. We already know what to do if Dr. Florian doesn't help. We made a plan. And she had already sent the messages that backup strategy required. Messages that didn't have to go far, after all. Not even past Braintree's chain-link fence. And we can deal with Aslan, sir. He'll come around. They always come around. They always do what you want. She was listening on Scout's channel. He was at the offices. His squad had a bonus. They've caught one of the HUM OS units, sir. Got her right there, in their hands. Got her in front of Aslan. Leverage, sir. He understood leverage. And he was calming down, the mottled angry colors fading from his face, something resembling a sane human expression sitting as naturally there as a party hat on a corpse.
Do it,
he ordered. And she told Scout what to say, what threats, what offers. Then Boyo was back. Florian trying desperately to seem like he was simply striding ahead of the bioform of his own volition, that there wasn't a big clawed hand holding the scruff of his neck and creasing his nice white suit. His stupid empty spectacles were gone, and Carol wanted to imagine them crushed under Boyo's boot, stamped into crumpled wire. Aslan had been talking some typical gallows speech about ideology. Scout's replies were on message, but off script. She had a terrible sense of things getting out of her control, and Thompson just seemed to get larger and larger, filling more and more of the room in her mind.
"Tell them to kill the woman,"
he snapped.
"Leverage. Kill her. So he'll know we're not playing. Him next. So kill her, then he'll play."
His eyes like a taxidermist's glass beads. "Sir?"
"Scout."
And he was on the channel.
"Kill her. The HomeOS woman. Kill her now."
And she had access to Scout's camera, watching as it swung from the lawyer's dark, creased face over to where a young woman hung between two of the trigger dogs. Just a girl, younger than Carol. Familiar, almost, like someone she'd met. Beret, chin high, defiant look like a resistance fighter before a Nazi firing squad. And Carol was trying to say no, say not to, find a way of saying she was useful. She was evidence of valuable because should be saved for. And while she wrestled with these objectless sentences, one of the trigger dogs snapped the woman's neck, and she was dead. "Damn it, Scout," she tried to say. But even those words were stillborn in her, and she was feeling sick and weak again, leaning against the wall, trying to focus on what was going on. "Scout, you've got to get him to agree now. Get him to agree not to release the data. Do you understand me? Bad dog. Get him to sign the contract. Bad dog." And there wasn't even a contract yet. And Scout was hardly going to draw one up himself. But the situation was getting away from them, and she was clutching at any stability she could possibly get.
"Bad dog,"
Thompson echoed, listening, watching through the same camera. Not agreeing, but mocking her. Disgusted that she was so soft when he needed hard tools to gouge hard wounds in the world. And then Aslan said what he'd done. Carol shut down, just about. Still there in her head, but all connection to the world severed. He was already sending it out. He'd been sending all along. He wasn't playing the game the way it was meant to be played. He wasn't taking the money. He...
"Scout, kill him,"
Thompson said. And she wanted to say no, staring into the face of the dignified old man. She wanted to countermand the death sentence, to find some other way, but she couldn't speak. Her master's voice had made its pronouncement. And what was her will to that? And Scout's view was shaking. No, Scout was shaking. Scout was fighting desperately, wrestling with his own body, trying to stop himself from carrying out the order. Inside his dog mind, Scout had both hands on the tightening collar, desperately trying to pry it from his throat. And Carol found herself cheering him on, because if he could, then maybe...
"Scout, kill him!"
Thompson roared. And she felt Boyo shudder, felt Scout resist, a growl in her own throat as though in sympathy. Florian had sunk back against Boyo's chest, as though Thompson was the worst devil. And then...
"Tozer, kill Scout. Kill the lawyer. Kill Scout."
Carol froze. And in that moment, the large caliber anti-bioform round went into the back of Scout's neck and rattled back and forth inside his skull before lodging in the inner rim of one eye socket. And Scout was dead. Scout's camera died in the same moment, and she scrabbled for Tozer's viewpoint, catching Aslan with a completely blank expression, a man who's already read to the end. After it was done, Thompson just stood there, and she had no idea what he might do next, all the layers of civilized organization she had patiently put up between him and the world, to make it do his will, to protect it from his wrath, were in pieces all over the floor. Were in pieces across Karim John Aslan's office. And then Florian started talking. He'd obviously seen some opening she hadn't. He was talking damage limitation.
Mr. Thompson, sir, this can all still be handled. We're never out of options. This business at the lawyers, we can make it look like a break-in.
They'll believe us.
They'll believe you, Mr. Thompson, sir. We can tell them whatever we need to. There are always ways to spin something. We find someone to blame. There was a Hum OS unit there. We blame her. She cooked up the images. People will believe it of her. She wants to blacken your name, sir. Just call a conference. Wounded anger, sir. A threat to national security. Should have hunted down the last of her a long time ago. Isn't that right, Mr. Thompson, sir?
Send the signal,
Thompson said flatly, not even listening.
Sir? It's ready. You said ready to go. Done processing. Send the signal.
Florian wrung his hands.
Mr. Thompson, sir.
Squirreling backwards into Boyo's chest, Thompson went for him, shoulder barging Carol out of the way, sending her to the floor, feeling the queasy slickness between her fingers where she'd thrown up. Something hard here. Something in among the bile and the softened pieces of lost lunch.
Fellatio!
Thompson was warning over her head.
Indemnity, the scientist got out. You have to indemnify me. I want a statement. That was all your fault. That I did what you told me. They'll crucify me. I'll never work again. Unless it was you, all you. You need me, Thompson, sir. You can't make it happen without me. So say it now. Say it's all on you. Say it for the camera, sir.
Your damn cameras,
Thompson growled.
Carol was getting back up slowly, that little slick bead in her palm hidden behind curled fingers. She looked up, and Thompson's dead gaze was on her, impatient with her frailties.
Backup plan. Make it happen. Do it.
Lumpish, half-formed instructions coming from the thing inside him, the true Warner S. Thompson. She looked past him to Florian, but there wasn't much satisfaction in the moment, not past her throbbing face and aching gut. She opened the channels, though. Three of Florian's most ambitious underlings got the call they'd been waiting for. Vacancy at the top. Goes to the first to send the signal. She'd made the arrangements, but Thompson had known the cracks would be there, as though his very presence corroded organizations and people, until there was always somewhere to stick the pry bar, somewhere to foment betrayal and backstabbing in his service. The quickest of Florian's traitorous underlings confirmed it done in under 20 seconds. Like Thompson had said, the processing, the whole upload process, was done. It was just a matter of sending a message along a channel that had been held open ever since the first workers had arrived at the Hell City site, all loaded up with expensive Braintree headwear.
The signal's been sent, sir,
she got out. Which just left.
Boyle,
Thompson said.
Kill Fellatio.
Carol expected something similar to the trigger dog's execution of the Hum OS unit. A clean break. Life to death in a humane instant. But Boyle had been hungering for this moment. Like a wolf tracking a man through the wilderness day and night for a week. Waiting for his opportunity. He didn't like Dr. Marco Florian, who had tormented Carol, who had installed her collar, and his own. And now, the protection of his master was removed, and he just lunged forwards, jaws first, all dog, nothing of man. His teeth ground into the scientist's neck with a bloody crunch. And he ground and worried and savaged, and more so, long past the moment when Florian was dead. Because bioforms could harbor long-held frustrations, too. They just didn't get to act on them as often as regular humans. Thompson watched. Blood was spattered across his shirt like avant-garde art, some of it Carol's, some Florian's. He had that smile on, the thin-lipped beam, hard to look at as the sun.
"We can say it didn't happen,"
he pronounced, once Boyo had dropped the body and was pawing at his red muzzle.
"None of it. Nothing sticks. Tell them."
Eyes pinning her again.
"Put the words together. Deny everything. Fellatio did it. Bees did it. Hum OS did it. Faked it. Out to get me. They won't get me."
He looked at the doctor's corpse, seemed surprised, as though not sure how it had got there. And Carol was eerily sure he was even now convincing himself he didn't know. It wasn't important. It couldn't have been his fault.
"Boyo did it,"
he murmured.
"Boyo was a bad dog. Fellatio was bad. Then Boyo was bad. Boyo says he did it. He'll be a good dog."
And Carol knew that was true. If Thompson said to confess, Boyo would confess. If Thompson said to go to the gas chamber, that was where Boyo would go, loyal unto death. And she knew the rest would come to pass, too. Thompson would get out of it, no matter there was all the video evidence in the world. It could be faked, after all. And Bees and Hum OS were like the witches that had never really been there in Salem, but could be blamed for everything. An unlimited capacity for nebulous evil. And Thompson's gaze had passed beyond them all, beyond the walls of the room, because Florian post-mortem had finally achieved what Thompson had been after all this time. Thompson's attention was fixed on a notional Mars, on Hell City. He'd be watching the skies from now on. And in maybe 10 more minutes, there'd be the pingback that said their signal was received, and the data was being downloaded across the void of space. Today, Mars. Tomorrow? Thompson turned that unbearable smile on her.
"Clean yourself up,"
he told her.
"You're a mess. Go do your job. Tell them I didn't do it."
And he was striding off, Boyo hangdog behind him. And she opened a channel to his lawyers as she went to find a washroom and do what she could with her face and her hands and her clothes. And the bruises wouldn't wash off. Nor was there makeup enough in the world to cover them. But then, a woman's bruises were usually invisible in the shadow of a powerful man. Nobody would comment on them. And she washed the vomit off her hands, off her chipped and bloodied nails, and stared down at what she was holding. A bee. A metal bee. And it seemed to flex against her palm, seemed to beat like a heart. She had a moment's memory of the car on the way in. A moment when it had given her a choice, a free choice, not one shackled to Thompson's brute will. It pulsed, and she felt something shift in her head, the iron band of her headache weakening. She had the sense of a question mark hanging there, devoid of words. Yes, she thought. Because if there was no specific question attached to that stray punctuation, then no answer she gave could be disloyal. It was in her head. She felt it scuttling there, little scratchy insect legs touching the pieces and connections of her headwear. Yes, she said again, not daring to contemplate what she was agreeing to, in case that meant she wasn't able to. And though nothing of the pain from the bruises and the aches, the loose teeth or the split lip went anywhere, her headache was gone. She told the lawyers to get ready for a meeting. Just her. She wouldn't be attending, and they could bill all their wasted, expensive hours to Thompson's account. Instead, she sent a message to Jennifer Wiley. "I need you to get me a channel," she said. "I want to tell the world the truth about Warner S. Thompson."